John 17, 6 through 26. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
Good job, Nick. Thank you. It was a super long passage to read. And honestly, as good as it is, we're going to look at that passage today. It's one of those where it's long enough that I have to reread like a paragraph about three times before I think I even understand it. Not that Jesus was unclear, just that my mind needs a little time to catch up sometimes. It's good to be here this morning. Welcome, Antioch to Church. I'm Pastor Patrick, and it's great to just be together in the name of Jesus. Are you ready to open the Word together this morning? All right, that's good to hear. I want to tell you first about an ancestor of mine, my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather's, he was known as Pa Nelson. And one thing that Pa Nelson, he was an old Swede, my grandfather married his daughter, and interesting that he was known for his solid faith in Jesus Christ, and he was known as a man of prayer. In fact, if anybody stayed at his house, they would tell stories that they could hear him praying at night. He would get on his knees every night, and he would pray for every member of his family by name. And I can look at the impact of Pa Nelson's prayers five generations down. And so many people have followed Christ in the family. It's amazing to me, and it's challenging to me. But I wonder what it would have been like. I was too little, but I wonder what it would have been like to be there and hear, he's praying for me in the other room. Wouldn't you be curious? Like, wouldn't you want to get close and kind of eavesdrop on that? What is Pa Nelson praying about me? Well, I was reminded of that because in John 17, this is a prayer of Jesus. And we can see, like we've seen Jesus do many other times, he's praying out loud with his followers around him in a way that they can hear. so that they would be encouraged, so that they could learn from what he's praying. And in this prayer, Jesus is praying for his followers and those who would follow him in the future. So here in John 17, Jesus is literally praying for Antioch Church. He's literally praying for me and for you. And I'm curious, just like his disciples were there to eavesdrop on him, we get to eavesdrop through this passage because somebody wrote it down. And so we're going to listen to what Jesus prays for Antioch Church this morning. And I think it's going to be helpful. I think it's going to be encouraging. And before we do that, I just want to pray with us that our hearts would be open to hearing from the Word of God and from His Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me for a moment? Father, thank you for this opportunity. In a way, I wish I was there back in that garden, and yet I know what happened next. This is what happened immediately before Jesus' arrest. Kind of want to be there, but I'm also glad to be here, Lord, that we can hear that prayer today. We can hear it with the help of your Holy Spirit in us, shining light on your word and in our hearts and minds to help us understand it. And Father, I just pray that today we'd really experience what Jesus said in a way that would draw us closer to you and help us to be who you want us to be, Lord. Give us your spirit and your guidance in this time. We just want to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we take a look this morning at this key question, what did Jesus pray for Antioch Church at this time? What did Jesus pray for us? We really see kind of three things. We looked at part of this prayer last week, the first several verses. We're going to look at the rest of it today. And the first thing that we see is that Jesus prayed that we would continue the mission of Jesus. He prayed that we would keep that mission going forward together. And so as we take a look at that, we want to think a little bit about that mission of Jesus. Jesus came into the world for a purpose, to find lost people, to bring them to the Father, to bring salvation to the world. He came healing and helping and speaking truth. And when he left, he passed that on to us. But to understand it, we want to first look at the chain of this mission that we have. Where did it come from? What was God's role in it, even before we consider how we carry it? It first came from the Father. Jesus said in verses 7 and 8, "And now they know that everything you have given to me comes from you, for I gave them the words that you gave me." He's kind of pointing to this chain or this flow that the mission, the gospel, was God's idea. He initiated it. He got the ball rolling. He started it. He put the pieces in place. He enacted the plan. He sent Jesus. He gave the truth to Jesus, who gave it to us, that we would pass it on to others also. But God initiated the gospel. That's encouraging to me. That's encouraging to me. There was a time in my life I wasn't interested in God. Didn't care. Didn't know that much. Kind of just interested in my own way. God initiated reaching out to me. There are people around you who don't care about Jesus Christ and the gospel at all. That's okay. God loves them and is initiating a plan to reach them with the hope and life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus. And we get to be a part of that. That's coming from God. You don't have to generate that. That's coming from God. His words and his power are from him. And then we have a role in receiving it. But the first role isn't that you have to do something with it for other people. The first role is to receive it. Jesus prayed about this in verse 8. He said, "For I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them." They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. The first thing about the gospel is for you and I to receive it, to believe it, to know that this is from God, and I can trust Christ with me. I can trust Christ with my heart. I can trust Jesus and believe who he says he is. And we receive the good news of Jesus this morning. We have to respond to it personally. And sometimes we kind of need to renew that. Like, yeah, I got saved when I was a kid, but I need to rethink this because I don't know if I'm really receiving the full impact of what it means that Jesus saved me from my sin for his glory. So we come back to that as our first responsibility with the gospel is to respond to it in here, to give ourselves to the Lord. And I would ask you, have you responded to the gospel of Jesus? Have you responded to the good news that Jesus came to save you, to bring you life, to guarantee an eternal home in the family of God? Have you yielded to Christ? There might yet be things you don't understand. There's things we haven't figured out. That's okay. The key is, have I yielded to Christ to let him change me? You know, I do believe that someday each one of us, each one of us will die someday. Death's kind of a universal thing. Don't know a whole lot of people that got around that one. But sometime when we do pass from this world, we'll stand before God and he'll ask us, why should I let you into my heaven? What will we say? A lot of people will say things like, I tried to live the best life that I could. And God will say, that's nice. But you came here bearing your sin. Sin cannot enter my holy place. What have you done with your sin? Well, I tried to change. It doesn't remove sin. Jesus Christ removes sin. He died on the cross paying the penalty for our sin so that we could be totally cleansed. And it's really only those who say, I yielded my life to Jesus Christ to be washed, cleansed, and redeemed by him who will have access into the throne room of God. So all of our sin has to be held accountable. It's either on me, or by his grace, it's on him. And when I trust in him, he pays the penalty for my sin. And I'm free. So our first call, our first responsibility is to make sure we know that we understand Jesus. We've yielded to him. If you haven't, if you're maybe in a place where you're going, I don't know if I'm quite there yet, that's okay. Keep learning. Keep growing. In fact, a good thing to do would be to find people who have yielded to Christ and ask them some questions. Just say, hey, did you give your life to Jesus? What was that like? Why did you do that? How did that change you? And just like keep learning, keep pressing into it. It's worth it to understand it, to experience the life change that comes from Jesus. That's the first impact of the gospel, is that we would receive it and be changed by it. And then the second one is, as believers who've been saved, to say, now what do I do with it? What is my purpose? Jesus said in this prayer in verse 11, I will remain in this world no longer, but they're still in the world, I'm coming to you. Jesus is like, I did what I came to do, so I'm going back to heaven now. You know, he died, he was in the grave, and then he rose from the dead, kind of wrapped things up with his disciples, and then he ascended into heaven. But he left us here. Why did he leave us here? Have you ever wondered that? I bet you have, because life stinks. It's painful. People are jerks. And we're left here going, why am I here? It's a good question to ask, what is my purpose on this earth? Because God left us here intentionally, not just with nothing to do. He left us here with the gospel to continue the mission of Jesus, to keep it going, to keep reaching other people for Christ. In Luke 19, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We're still here because there are still people in this earth who don't know Jesus. In fact, often the same people we're really frustrated with are people who don't know Jesus, and we need to reach them with the gospel. And we're called to be on this mission. Jesus said, John 17, verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Jesus came to reveal God and God's desire to bring salvation. And we're in this world to reveal Jesus, to shine the light of God by doing good works toward people, treating people with kindness, so that their hearts would be open to hear the good truth that Jesus loves them and came to rescue them from their sin. I have a friend in Des Moines that says, our good works create goodwill to receive the good news. I like that. We are here for a purpose, to show the light of the gospel to a world that desperately needs him, just like we did. Just like we did. So Jesus prays first that we would continue the mission of Jesus. Then the second thing Jesus prays is for our protection, because he knows this world is tough. And they're about to see just how tough, because Jesus is about to be arrested and falsely tried, false charges, abuse of all kinds, death on the cross. They need protection. In fact, he had just told them, like, on this earth, Jesus was like, I protected them. Right? I protected them, but I'm about to leave. And he said, when they strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And so he's praying to the Father, would you protect them? Think about this little band of believers, not that many, in a hostile world to try to give birth to the church. He says, starting in verse 11, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. No one has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I've given them your word, and the world hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. Jesus is like, I did that. I protected them. I helped them. I guarded them. I'm leaving. Father, would you protect them from the harm of this world that in many ways hates the gospel because of sin? It's natural to pray for protection for people that we love. You ever pray for protection for your kids? If you have kids? Or if you know someone, like if we're going to send a missionary off to another country, we'd pray for their protection. It's kind of a natural thing to do. Jesus is praying for our protection so we can stay in the game to keep continuing his mission, but he couples it with something else. It's not just protection, like we're some innocent victim and the world's really bad, and just pray that he would protect us. He couples it with another idea, and he prays that God would also sanctify us. Protection and sanctify us. He continues, he says, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into this world, I'm sending them into this world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be sanctified. You know what the word sanctify means? Yet to be holy? Yep. What's another way to say it too? Set apart. Yeah, good. Both those are right. To be holy, to be set apart. So if you have, maybe you have a special glasses at home that are set apart for special guests. And then you have like the everyday ones that you use. And then you have the kids' cups, right? Because there's a specific purpose. And if you use the really nice ones and let the kids run around and toss them around the kitchen, they're going to break. And God's like, we need to be sanctified. We need to be set apart for this purpose to advance the mission of Jesus. We're set apart. We're not like the rest of the world. We're set apart for the specific purpose to advance the mission of Jesus, to continue it. Amen? Which means we have to be different. In Romans 12, he said, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to be different than the world around us. I mean, as I think about this for me, I think about like social media. I can sit there, go like this and get sucked into that and just keep watching videos or whatever. It's like training my mind to think exactly like the world or exactly like the world's presented there, which is kind of twisted and weird anyway. It's like, why would I train my mind to be just like everyone else and then think that I can be effective in continuing the mission of Jesus? Jesus is praying that we would be protected, but also that we'd be sanctified, because I need to be protected from my own worldly mindset, or it too will disrupt the mission of Jesus. We need to be set apart. We need to train our mind and our heart to love different things, to think different ways, so that we'll be effective in being like Jesus and shining his light in this world. Set apart. Sanctify them by your truth. So I would ask this morning, are we cooperating with Jesus? Are we cooperating with the Holy Spirit to answer that prayer to be different? Are we working at it? I want to be trained. It means like I'm going to read this thing at home. I'm going to listen to different things. I'm going to put different inputs in my mind because I want to be set apart for God so he can use me to shine his light in this world. So Jesus prays that has to have two things: protection from outside and sanctification in here so we can do it. And then he gives us a third thing. To continue this mission of Jesus, protected, sanctified. And then he concludes this prayer by praying pretty robustly for unity. For unity. That we would do this together. He says it like this, starting in verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. Woohoo, that's us. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may also be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Those are some strong words. Not just like, yeah, let's try to get on the same page. We'd be one. We would be in complete unity. What does it mean to be one with somebody? What's the first thing you think of? You think of marriage, right? In marriage, we become one with another person. That's scary enough. And in that, so like everything becomes shared. So all the income one of you makes, it's ours. all the, what you want to do with your time, it's our time. It's all shared. There's no mine and yours. It's we, us, and our. I mean, it's a picture of unity. Now, I don't want you to make a jump to say, oh, like we're all married to each other, that kind of oneness. Well, that'd be a little weird. But I do want you to take that image and take it up and think about our union with Christ. That's where it gets traction. It's where we begin to understand that we're in union with Christ. If you have yielded to Christ and Christ has saved you, you are one with him. Your union with Christ is a really big deal. Everything is shared. Did you know that? Every sin you've ever done, Jesus shared it. It impacted him. When Jesus hung on the cross, he didn't deserve that. It's because he provided a way for me to be in union with him. It's because I'm one with Christ that he's suffering. But you know what else is true? Because I'm one with Christ, his life becomes mine. His resurrection becomes mine. His righteousness becomes mine. God places me in Christ, and what's true of him becomes mine. Jesus is the Son of God. I'm called a son of God. That's crazy. That's union with Christ. And Jesus is praying that we would understand what union together means. It starts by understanding our union with Christ. That's our common ground with one another. It's anchored in our union with Christ. And then the Bible says there's all kinds of things that unite us that make us one. We are one body with many different parts, different gifts and strengths and weaknesses, but we're one body. And Christ is the head. We have one word, right? Do you submit to a different Bible than me? And we have different translations. But it's the same Bible. We stand on the same truth together. We have one Holy Spirit. He came. We were looking. The elders met the other day, this weekend, for a retreat. And we thought about Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came in to the group and lighted on each individual. There was like this both corporate and individual experience with the same Spirit. Same is true for us. That's part of our unity. We have one faith that saves us, one baptism that identifies us with Christ. We have one mission that we're working to continue, the mission of Jesus. And Jesus is praying that we are one. Man, as we look around at churches in our country in the last few years, we've seen what we already knew. We've seen it even more, that all kinds of things can divide us. All kinds of things can divide churches. And any of those different things, if we try to unite on something that's not one of these, we're going to get divided against each other. There's churches are divided by different ethnicities. Churches divided by politics. How dumb is that? Like, we have different views on current political issues, and so we're going to get divided? The first thing we lose is the mission of Jesus. And people who desperately need Christ, and Jesus who gave his life for them, it stops with us because we're focused on some other thing that we're arguing about. Why would we do that? We get divided on all kinds of different things, you know. We have different interests. We have different things that we put in the place. We even have, like, Vikings and Packers rivalries, which actually doesn't divide us. It kind of unites us. But what happens is churches unite over surface level, easy to talk about, meaningless things like sports. You go to any church and you'll find men standing around talking about sports. Now, that's fine. That's a good starting place. But you got to be able to get to these spiritual truths. Because if we only find our unity on these petty surface level things, we will never get to the motivation or the cooperation to advance the mission of Jesus in a world that desperately needs him. And God has called us to do that. Jesus is like praying literally his last moment of freedom. He's praying that we would do this, that we would find that kind of unity, so that all that he worked for his whole life would continue through the power of his Holy Spirit as we continue the mission of Jesus together. So I'm going to encourage you, Antioch. I'm going to encourage you, friends, to stay committed and faithful to the purpose of this church. And we're not like the one church that's better than all the other churches, but we're together. This is our experience. This is how we experience church. The universal church is experienced at a local level. So we experience our oneness here. We experience God's protection together here. We experience God's unity and our union in Christ together here, so that we can together further and advance the mission of Jesus and reach people right around us here with the love and hope and truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You down with that? Not sure? I just think about, you know, and Jesus has his last chance to talk to the Father before, like, he's crashing through the events of the cross. And in that last moment of solitude to talk to the Father, he prayed that we would be solidly united around the mission of Jesus, protected, set apart for that, and motivated and moving forward so that we could reach the world for Christ. Father, those are powerful things. I know that you heard your son in his prayer requests for those things. And I know that you see us, and we still need the same things. We need to clearly understand, what is this mission? How can we do what Jesus did and say what Jesus said? How can we show the light of the gospel? Father, we're not set apart enough. We're too much like the world. Keep sanctifying us, Father. Help us grow and become more set apart. We're vulnerable. We need your protection. We're vulnerable in all kinds of ways. Protect us. And Father, help unite us first individually in Christ. And as we commit to our union with Christ, to experience our union with Christ as much as we can, help us bring that together and coalesce that around your Son, that we would be united around your word by your Spirit and for this cause. We want to change this area of the world. We want people to see Christ. Lord, help us to be used as powerfully as possible to accomplish your mission on this earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.